Hey guys, welcome to the third episode of the All the Things podcast. I'm your host, Mike, here with Dan.
Sup.
And Darren.
Hey, Katie. I know you're the only one listening to this.
And this is going to be a short podcast. It's been a long weekend, and we had to get it in somehow. And for some reason, there just really isn't anyone out tonight. There isn't a whole lot of us. There isn't a chance for us to talk to anyone.
The friendocalypse is nigh. It's literally the whole day. It's just been me and Darren after about four, and then Mike finally showed up and didn't really hear from anybody at all.
We got some Battlefield 3 time in.
Oh, fuck yeah, we did. It's much better with a squad of friends, especially when you can scream at each other from across the cyber cafe. Like, hey, I'm dead, and then, hey, I'm dead again, and watch out, he's over there. Vague descriptions are your best friend in that game.
This is the first time I've actually properly played the game, aside from the beta on PS3. It feels like Battlefield 2, but faster.
Yeah, definitely faster. A lot faster.
And I'm really disappointed there's no Black Hawk helicopter, because that was my favorite fucking vehicle in the entire game.
Maybe Karkin, who knows?
Yeah, Karkin's supposed to release
three new vehicles.
I think it's three new vehicles, five new maps, and 10 new guns, so you're Black Hawk baby back.
God, I hope so. That was so much fun, just going in and doing airdrops and shit.
I'm absolutely not looking forward to playing Wake Island again, because it's a very small map. When it comes to land space. A lot of water.
I think this would technically be the fourth time in a Battlefield game I've played Wake Island. They had Battlefield 1942, and then Battlefield 2, and then Battlefield 1943, which is technically a remake of Battlefield 1942, but better. And now Battlefield 3, it seems like people just can't get off the whole Wake Island kick.
It's easy if you know how to fly a jet, because you just strafe the ground and decimate people. There's nothing you could fucking do.
Well, it was a great map to begin with, so I guess it makes sense. And aren't they doing, like, Coral Sea, or...
I'm not 100% sure, aside from Karkin Wake Island. I don't remember a whole lot of the other ones' names, to be honest.
Yeah, I don't know the names either. I'm just familiar with Wake Island and Karkin. I don't know any of the new guns that are coming out. I don't know any of the new vehicles.
It doesn't matter, because it's more Battlefield. Oh, look, there's a fire truck.
Yay, going somewhere. Fire truck.
So the story I was telling you guys before, or I was telling Dan and Darren before the podcast started, for those of you who don't know, my brother left for Afghanistan on Tuesday, and a couple months ago, my brother was downloading a whole bunch of PlayStation Network games, which so he could transfer them to his PSP and play them mobily, which is something he's wanted to do for a long time, because he's a big mobile gamer, and he likes a lot of the old PlayStation games, and he's downloaded all sorts of shit, Breath of Fire 4, Final Fantasy Tactics, Final Fantasy 7... You know, all sorts of shit.
Kind of a whore.
Yeah. And they came out with Chrono Trigger. And I don't know yet whether it's the PlayStation version of Chrono Trigger or the Super Nintendo. It doesn't really matter. I've got the cartridge. I don't give a shit. That's why I didn't download it. But when they came out with it about a month and a half ago, the first thing my brother asked was, hey, are they porting Chrono Cross over? And me, keeping up with all the video game knowledge that I always do, didn't have an answer for him. And about a day later, I read an article that said, when asked by fans, and I'm talking about Sony, whether they were going to come out with Chrono Cross, the only answer they could give was soon. And usually when they say soon, it could be next week, it could be 6 months, or it could be never. You never know what's going to happen. So we've been hoping and waiting and praying to God that Chrono Cross was going to come out. Well, so, you know, it's all kind of going along, and my brother leaves on deployment on Tuesday. And sure fucking enough, when I get on my internet at 8 o'clock at night and I go to Kotaku and see what games have just come out on PlayStation Network that day, sure enough, Chrono Cross came out the day my brother fucking leaves. And I ended up getting a chance to Skype him either later that day or the following day, and his no shit reaction was, God damn it. He was pissed. But on the bright side, Sony... I guess because my brother spent so much money buying all these games, and since I spent like $60 last month buying PlayStation Network games, they gave me a $10 credit automatically, which paid for the game. So I was like, yo, dude, when you get wireless network in Afghanistan, just download it because I've already purchased it. So he's going to probably pick it up when it comes out. But I've been playing that a little bit, and man, I miss that game. That's a really good game. Did you ever get a chance to play it?
No, I never played that at all. When I was younger, I just took to more traditional and very good games like Jurassic Park and Jurassic Park 2 and Sonic and
the Genesis Jurassic Park?
Oh, fuck yeah, the Genesis Jurassic Park.
That was so much better than the Super Nintendo Jurassic Park.
Yeah, it was. And, you know, I played the Power Rangers fighting games. That was fun, too.
Dude, the Megazord one, or what was it? Power Rangers Fighting Edition. That's the best one. That kicks the shit out of all other Power Rangers games. You get to be fucking the Thunder Megazord and the Ninja Megazord and the ones I never saw, like the Shogun Megazord, and fight Lord Zedd and Goldar, and it was awesome. It was such a good game.
Yeah, it really was. I never understood it. To this day, in fighting games, I still just mash buttons because memorizing combos is more tedious than doing math homework. So I never really paid much attention to that kind of shit. But yeah, fighting games on the Genesis were a lot of fun. I love the Power Rangers ones because you got to be a Power Ranger when you're like 7 or 8 years old, if I remember accurately. Shit, it may have been 13. I don't know. I played a lot of games that I should have been playing, but I played the shit out of that. Battletoads and Double Dragon, if I'm remembering properly, which beat the fuck out of me when I was a little kid. Game was fucking hard. Well,
Battletoads by itself was really hard.
Yeah, it was. That was a horrible game to sell to children.
Yeah, nobody could get past the second level, and if you did get past the second level, chances are you probably killed your other partner and then were fucked and stuck by yourself, because you couldn't do it by yourself. That game was so hard. It was that jet bike level. That fucking jet bike level. Nobody could get past that. It was like you had to memorize it, and even if you memorized it, you had like a 1 in 100 chance of actually passing that level. Nobody's seen the end of the game.
It doesn't exist. I'm pretty sure there is only 3 levels in that game. And no, I take that back. 2.5. Because about halfway through, I'm sure the game would crash because it doesn't understand how you're not dead yet.
There's a great series of videos on GameTrailers.com that has... It's called Screw Attack, and they usually go back and they visit old games, and every once in a while they do top 10 lists, and that's where I first saw Angry Video Game Nerd a long time ago. And they did a retrospective of the top 10 hardest games of all time, and Battletoads was number one. And it was really funny because when they were talking about it, the host of the show put out a challenge to everyone that said, We guarantee you've never seen the end of Battletoads. And if you tell us you've seen the end of Battletoads, you're a fucking liar. So we're going to put the challenge out here because we're pretty sure we're going to win. If you could send us a videotape of you playing by yourself from the beginning to the end of Battletoads and you beat the game without, you know, no continues, nothing. You actually finish the game in its entirety. And I don't mean, we don't want to see a video from an emulator. We want you to put a video camera in front of a television set with a Nintendo, which, by the way, you have a 4 in 5 chance that Nintendo is going to crash on you between then and the last level.
Glory days.
And if you can do that, then they were going to send them, like, all the DVDs that Game Trailers makes. And sure enough, some dude fucking sent it. Like, some guy actually fucking made it to the end of the game. And there was, if I'm not mistaken, the one issue they had with it was that the guy who played it on a PAL version of Battletoads, so the European version of Battletoads, which is untouched. It's the same game. But, yeah, it still blows my mind that anyone actually made it that far.
I'm sure his girlfriend was very proud of him.
No, he doesn't have a girlfriend.
You mean Shocker.
Yep.
Paula. Lefty.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was... Fuck, that game was hard. Actually, there was another one that I was trying to think of that... what other hard games did you remember playing on Nintendo?
The Zelda games beat my ass when I was a kid. Like, I still remember beating the original Zelda. And going back now, it's harder than when I was a kid. I don't know how I figured shit out when I was a kid. I have no idea how I figured any of that crap out. You know, I'm not...
Lots of graph paper?
I never used graph paper or nothing. It was just, I figured it out. I guess 5-year-old me is a fuck ton smarter than 24-year-old me.
Well, there were, as a kid, when you played Nintendo games, you had 2 reasons for graph paper. One, you actually mapped out the entire world of Zelda, which some did, I didn't. And then you had, conversely, the people who used the graph paper to create those grid patterns of Mega Man codes when you've beaten certain bosses, you know, back in the glory days before there was battery saves and all that type of stuff. And the graph paper was kind of important to those really hardcore Nintendo gamers.
That explains why I do keep a pad of graph paper next to my computer, though. I don't know why, I just always have.
In fact, I actually thought about buying some graph paper so I could start building some shit in Minecraft. Because I figured that, you know, pixel by pixel, that's the way to do it.
It is. I haven't touched Minecraft in a while, actually.
Yeah, I haven't either. I've been away from games in general. In fact, I mean, I realized today that I haven't actually sat down and played a new game in a long time. I play Battlefield if my computer can handle it, but, I mean, I think Global Agenda was the last one I really played. And I tried to play World of Warcraft a little bit, but that's not working. And it just, but I did get a big hankering to play Modern Warfare 3 this week. Battlefield fanboys. That's what I have to contend with.
Battlefield all the fucking way. It's not my fault you like to play a crappy game.
No. I like Battlefield a whole lot more than I like Modern Warfare, but I actually want to play through the story. And that whole confirmed kill deathmatch mode that I was telling you about seems pretty cool, because it actually... for those of you who don't know, there's a mode in Modern Warfare 3, and I think it's called confirmed kill. It might be called something else. I forget what it's called, and I'm sure if Katie was here, she would definitely be able to correct me. Where...
in the comments, Katie.
So, when you kill someone in Modern Warfare in this mode, they drop a dog tag. And just by killing someone, you don't actually get credit for the kill unless you kill them and then pick up their dog tag. So if you're shooting dudes from far away and you don't have guys there to pick up the dog tag, you're kind of fucked. If the other member of the team picks up the dog tag of one of their fallen members of their team, then you lost that kill. And so what I like about it is that rather than the ridiculous run-and-gun play where people just run around and don't give a fuck about their team and just try to rack up the most kills or, you know, maybe get the nuke or something like that, it actually forces people to play together in squads and actually kind of, be a little bit more tactical in the way they move around the map.
You would think. Probably not going to happen.
Sounds like it would, but it sounds more... If you're playing, maybe on computer, I found when it comes to first-person shooters that are both platform and computer, the few that I've played, on computer people are more likely to work with you than on platform. On platform you got screaming 12-year-old kids who, granted, I hate dealing with screaming 12-year-old kids, but it is hilarious when you can hear them over, you know, Xbox Live or the PlayStation talkie shit, whatever they call it, and their parents come in and start screaming at them. That's one of the best feelings. Especially when they swear at you, and then you hear, watch your language from the background.
I think it's a lot easier to work with people on computer because... in order to games like Battlefield 3, it's you have to be able to afford a $1,200 computer just to run the game.
Unless your parents are fucking rich.
But even still, if your parents are that rich, you're probably doing other richy things like driving around in your dad's Lambo or burning $100 bills for fun. That's what I imagine rich people do.
Wiping your ass with them.
Yep. All your ass with hundreds.
So we were actually, before we started recording, we were playing a game where little descriptions of Pokemon.
Yep, exactly what they look like. You look at the Pokemon, you describe it, and you try to figure out what you're describing, which was fairly entertaining.
Like, for example, Blastoise looks like someone who took a pissed-off turtle and jammed two PVC pipes in the back of its shell.
Yes, it does. Charmander is the result of an angry child with a pet lizard and his dad's lighter. Some people need help.
Doduo is an ostrich where someone glued an extra neck to it. Or, what was it?
Oh, Ditto. That was pretty funny.
Ditto was after someone fapped, but they have a disease.
It just came to life?
That is purple.
True.
Maybe I'm weird, but I don't fap purple.
And there was Togepi was an egg that was cracked in half and someone glued googly eyes and feet to it?
Yeah, it's Togepi. The more we went into it, the closer we got to the fifth and sixth generation. Sorry, fourth and fifth. I don't know why I thought sixth gen. But it stopped being fun, you know. You describe what you see. Litwick, lit candle. Vanillish, ice cream cone. Chandelier. It's just, you lose all the fun. I'm pretty sure the Game Freak guys have just lost ideas, and they just smoke pot and look around their house and draw pictures of things
fire
that they
pig.
See with googly eyes. Fire pig. Let's think. Standing up pig on fire. Yeah, that works. Whatever. Throw it in there. I'm eating vanilla ice cream cone. Yeah, that works. Throw it in there.
Scyther, a praying mantis that fell into the Ninja Turtles ooze.
Kabutop, someone tortured a horseshoe crab and then glued scythes to its arms.
Everyone at Games Freaks has to be fucking high when they make the Pokemons.
Acid is a must.
I don't know whatever they're smoking, dude, but I want some, dude. And I even do drugs.
I would love to sit in on one. Granted, I don't speak Asian, but I'd like to have a translator just sit in on their council meetings when they decide what they're going to do. I just imagine it's, you know, hey, guys, we're going to make the next generation of Pokemon. We're just going to eat these tabs of acid and just throw out whatever you think of. I'm sure we can get someone to draw it.
Well, dude, I guarantee it's a bunch of dudes sitting around in a room sitting there, all right, well, we've got 150 Pokemon, so write 150 on a piece of paper, and this is going to be the new generation. All right, what are we going to have? Everyone just kind of stands there. They're really quiet. One dude looks to his left. One dude looks to his right. looking up, looking down. Some dude sees a pen on the table. He's like, I got it. Pokemon shaped like a pen. Got it. There's one. 149 more to go.
I want some bacon. Oh, fire pig.
Fire pig. Let's see. Looking around the room.
I've got shoes on.
Shusta. Next Pokemon.
It's just ridiculous, man.
Oh, I'd like to apologize. I was wrong last week during the Pokemon discussion. Apparently, Fire Red and Leaf Green actually go through third gen, if I'm not mistaken, from what I've read and seen. I can't remember if you get all three zones worth of badges, but I do know that there's something like there's over the normal 256, which was Gen 1 and 2.
Well, the answer to that is actually make your way through the game again and confirm yourself, which I'm sure we'll hear.
I am on my second badge, working my way through it. I forgot how tedious those games are in the beginning when you still have to swap between all your Pokemon because you can't catch anything at level, or you know, you're not fighting anything fast enough where you still have to level your level 6 fucking Magikarp all the way up, and it takes fucking forever.
Which, by the way, is a dragon and a flying Pokemon.
I know. Fuck you.
Harkening back to a drunk conversation we had the other weekend.
Wait a minute. No, you're wrong. It's a flying water Pokemon.
I'm sorry, flying water. You're right. You were the one who said dragon flying.
Now who's wrong?
Sorry. Whatever. I was really drunk.
We were all really drunk. We drank all the beers and vodkas, rum.
I swear anyone who listens to this podcast and doesn't actually know us in real life is going to think we're alcoholics.
it's on the weekends we are.
Alcoholics go to meetings, drunks stay in bars, we drink in Cameron's pool. That's what it is.
So we'll shift gears a little bit. So I've been watching this fantastic series. So Dan and I got hooked on this fantastic series called Doctor Who. And
Darren's in on the disease.
Yeah, well, we're going to get to
that.
I've
been infected.
We're going to get to that. So for those of you who don't know, Doctor Who is a show that was created in Britain in the 60s. It was about a character called the Doctor, who is an alien from a planet called Gallifrey, who is a time traveler. They're referred to as Time Lords. And it's a sci-fi show where it basically revolves around time. Imagine a super depressing version of Back to the Future without Christopher Lloyd. And wow.
Sorry, I have to offend all the peoples.
At least you're keeping with the theme.
All the tens of listeners.
If we even get 10.
And so anyways, this doctor cruises around in a time machine called the TARDIS, which stands for Time and Relative Dimension in Space.
Randomly kidnapping humans from different generations to travel with him.
They're called companions. And they cruise around and they get to see all these cool things in time. And a lot of the times they're really... Well, I can't actually speak for the old series because I haven't seen the old series. Well, anyways, the series went off the air in the late 80s, I believe 87 and 89.
Yeah, it was towards the end of the 80s, and then it came back for a brief stint, early 90s, and then went off again in 95.
Well, they didn't actually come back in the 90s. It was, they ended the 89 show, I'll say 89 if I'm wrong. All right, I'm fucking wrong and whatever.
Please correct us.
Yeah, well, nobody's going to because nobody listens. Anyways, the show that ended in 89 ended with what's called who was the seventh Doctor. And to give a little insight, they have, just like any show that goes on for decades, nobody's going to stick with the show forever. And so the way they work this whole device in is they have multiple Doctors. And the way it works is, since the Doctor is a Time Lord and he's quote-unquote kind of immortal, he's got two hearts and of... I guess the only thing...
7 years old, I think.
As of right now, yeah, he's 907 years old. The Doctor will actually, when killed, regenerates. And when he regenerates, he turns into he's the same person, but he takes on traits of a completely different person. And he's still got a lot of similar characteristics that are special to the Doctor himself, but the new Doctors end up picking up kind of different traits, and they're different kind of Doctors. And so, you know, they name him as, you know, the first Doctor, second Doctor, all the way through up to the seventh in the old series. The seventh Doctor was the one they ended on, which, from what I've heard, was not a real popular Doctor. I think actually it was like the second or third Doctor was the one people loved from the old show. Anyways, so the show ended in 89, and then Fox, that wonderful fucking company that makes all sorts of shows with really high hopes and then makes them last on the air forever, and I'm being facetious, tried to create Doctor Who for the United States, and they had 1 2-hour pilot episode. And Doctor actually kind of looked like Mozart. He had this really kind of weird look to him, but it's the eighth Doctor. They decided to continue it, and again, only lasted one episode, never took off, nobody cared, etc. Well, BBC, back in, I think, 2004, I believe.
The show rebooted in 2005.
2005. They rebooted it in 2005. They started new and kind of created Doctor Who over, but they didn't in the actual canon of the story. They picked up after the Eighth Doctor. They actually counted the Eighth Doctor as that Fox had made as the Eighth Doctor. They picked up on the Ninth Doctor. And we don't know how the Eighth Doctor became the Ninth Doctor. And actually, this is a really interesting point. Even though the Eighth Doctor, the series, the Fox series never actually got a show, and they never got a full-fledged show, the Eighth Doctor actually did live on, because in Britain, radio dramas are still huge. And so, you know, whereas, you know, we used to listen to radio dramas like in the 40s and 50s and that type of shit, back when all we had was radio, in the UK they still do radio dramas. And so the Eighth Doctor actually has had a real kind of long life. They still do Eighth Doctor stuff. So back to the reboot, they made the Ninth Doctor, and he lasted a season, and then they had the Tenth Doctor. They're actually up to the 11th Doctor right now. And it's, I guess, the only way I could describe it is it's one of the best written shows I've ever seen. It's a type of show that even, you know, me, like, nothing bothers me. I can look at fucking Goatsy, and like I can eat a chili dog and eat Goatsy and laugh at it while fucking other people are disgusted. I can eat Goatsy.
Gross. You need a big time for that.
I mean, nothing bothers me. Nothing gets to me. I mean, nothing. I don't really tend to find things that tend to be sad or depressing or things that really, or, I mean, sometimes something's funny. I mean, it could put a smile on my face, but nothing's really invoked such an emotional reaction from me out of, instead of, or other than Doctor Who. And it's just, it's so incredibly well written. It's
depressing.
And depressing. Oh my God, so depressing. And it's scary. Like, they actually have freaky shit. What's called the, Weeping Angels. All I gotta say, Weeping Angels. If you start watching Doctor Who, just wait for the Weeping Angels, because you're gonna be fucking terrified.
I will. Yes.
That shit's scary.
I still don't trust stone angels.
I never will. Never again.
So, on to the actual personal relevance of this. Dan and I got hooked on Doctor Who by Steven, who was on the podcast last week. And Steven got us started on Doctor Who, and immediately next week we're watching Doctor Who, we're getting through all the episodes, watching them on Netflix. Netflix has up to season 5, even though there's been 6 seasons, so we've had to pirate the 6th season.
We don't pirate. We tactically acquire. We found them, all right? They were on the internet, and they were like, hey, download me. And we were like, we will adopt you, 6th season. There was no pirating involved. I did not have an eye patch or a peg leg. Can't go to jail for finding.
True. And, so it kind of became our reference. It kind of became our ongoing thing of, this is about the time that Warhammer 40K became big to us. So we would spend our times painting Warhammer figures and watching Doctor Who in our respective houses during the week. And then when Dan would come home for the weekends, we'd talk about Doctor Who and all the minis that we painted.
And sometimes paint minis at Dad's house.
But there's something about Doctor Who that when you really get into that show, you feel the need to get everyone else into the show, which we very well did. We got a lot of people into Doctor Who.
Assholes.
So Darren is the latest victim of our Doctor Who spree. Now, how long ago did you actually start watching Doctor Who?
I think I watched the first episode maybe right around the time I got the Black Reach set, which was, what, maybe a month and a half ago?
I didn't even think it was a month. Maybe a month ago. Maybe. Yeah.
Was it long ago? Somewhere around there. I watched the first episode, and I watched it. And I'm like, it's all right. Didn't really appeal to me too much, but I'm like, oh, I'll give it another shot. It seems like an interesting show. And after the second episode, I realized I had just gone through 2 seasons in like 3 days.
You know what's funny is that second episode is the only old episode of Doctor Who through the 5th season that I haven't seen. That's because I skipped it, never went back to it. So if I ever feel like going back, I've got one episode I can watch that I've never...
I don't even remember. Do you remember the second one? The
second episode...
It has to do with the...
Oh, I know what order it was. It was the one where they go like the year like 5 million or something that.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. It's the third episode I haven't seen. Yeah, the second episode was good.
Which one did you... What's the third episode?
It's not the crack in time, but it's like the temporal energy. He goes back to, like, 1800s England, and there's a There's like a temporal energy. It's where he ends up going in later episodes to recharge the Titus or the Titus the TARDIS.
Oh,
the
yeah,
TARDIS.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's the one where they first reference to Bad Wolf, I think.
Yeah, Bad Wolf. If you watch it or you have seen it, you know what Bad Wolf is. Well, Darren gets about probably 2 weeks in, and I'm sitting at home also watching Doctor Who and painting minis, as I assumed he was, and I just get a text message out of nowhere that says, if you don't tell me what the fuck Bad Wolf is right fucking now, I'm out. And I laughed so hard my roommates came in to figure out what the fuck I was laughing at.
You're like, it's an angry wolf.
No, I said, soon enough. And as far as he told me, the next episode would explain what the fuck Bad Wolf was.
So you're already at the end of the first season?
Yeah.
You're through four now, right?
Well, now he is, I'm saying at the time.
Yeah.
So you figure out who Bad Wolf is at the end of the first season, right?
Yeah. I think it's like the second to last episode.
I thought Bad Wolf was the end of the second season.
No, it's the first. It's before David Tennant becomes a doctor.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you haven't actually... So you're in the fourth season.
That was what? A week ago?
Yeah, it must have been. Like,
and I'm already... I already went through three fucking seasons after that. Fuck.
Yeah.
Okay, so you've... By the way, and I can't stress this enough, if you guys haven't seen the show and you have any inkling to see sci-fi or well-written television in general, check
this.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, there's some straight-up depressing things that happen.
There's, like, me, I don't talk to my father, I refer to him by his first name, but there was an episode about one of the Commandian's fathers, where at the end of it, there's nothing you want to do more than just go up and hug your dad. And it's like, God damn it. I haven't even spoken to my dad in close to a decade, and it's like, I almost want to go hug the guy.
Yeah.
I didn't. Don't get me wrong, I didn't. But it was that kind of emotional toll.
Yeah, and one of the things that Doctor Who does, and it's kind of offsetting at first, is there's a very high regard for life in the show, and yet
there's not.
Well, no, hold on. There is a high regard for life, but there isn't. The Doctor highly regards human life. Yet,
nobody
fucking
else does.
Millions of people are killed in this episode, in this show. At several points in the first few seasons, aliens invade the Earth, and they kill millions of people, and they never resolve it. It's not like, oh, hey, they were caught in a temporal vortex, and they fucking came back, or blah, blah, blah. No, people are dead. Like there's nothing you can do about it.
Dead.
Yeah.
I will warn you if you're going to start watching this show, and I strongly advise that you do. Don't get super attached to anyone, because every time I got attached to a character, they fucking killed them, and it was awful.
It's safe to say the only character you're allowed to get attached to is the Doctor, because
nope,
he's not going.
Because he changed every fucking couple seasons, he becomes.
I still
a new
miss
person.
The first Doctor, which is technically the ninth Doctor.
Yeah, I still do miss the ninth Doctor. David Tennant was great. Don't get me wrong, but I love the first season's Doctor. I love all the new Doctors: Matt Smith, David Tennant, and first guy. I don't know his name.
Christopher Eccleston.
Sure. First guy, that's how I'm going to remember it. They all have very different character traits, too. I mean, like, the first Doctor was very... The first Doctor I saw, David Eccleston is what you said?
Chris Eccleston.
Chris Eccleston was just...
Maybe
very,
I did say David accidentally. I mixed David Tennant.
Okay, the ninth Doctor.
Chris Eccleston.
The ninth Doctor, he was very free, very easygoing, very laid back.
I would say he's kind of intense, but like David Tennant was really intense.
He was intense in a different manner, and like he had no problem saying when his companion fucked up, and he was very quick to insult. And then David Tennant comes in, who's like, I've heard it described a lot as had like a god complex. You know, he could fix everything, no matter what, he could fucking fix it. And then you got Matt Smith, who comes in, and he's still very like easygoing, happy-go-lucky guy, but has this very depressed overtone to him. And it's all great. I fucking love the shit of the show.
Yeah.
And I'm waiting for the seventh season.
And there's kind of a thing, too. We'll get back to Darren in a second, but there's a... with when the Doctors change actors, people kind of tend to develop their favorites. And I surprisingly, Dan and Darren are really the only ones I've heard that really liked Chris Eccleston. I like Chris Eccleston. There is not, of the three Doctors I've seen so far, there's not a Doctor I don't like. I liked Chris Eccleston, but he's probably my least favorite of the three. And that's just because I love David Tennant. He's my fucking favorite Doctor. And then Matt Smith's probably my second, who is the current Doctor. And to give you a little background, so Chris Eccleston did one season as the Doctor, and then I don't know if he got kicked off or he left. I think they actually recast him, and they brought in David Tennant. If anyone has seen Harry Potter and the, Order of the Phoenix, Goblet of Fire, David Tennant is the character who plays Barty Crouch Jr. He's the son of the, God, like, is it the Auror? The like, the guy who's the, who hunts dark wizards? Basically, he pretends to be Mad-Eye Moody throughout the entire thing, and he's a Death Eater, and he's really weird. Actually, I've seen David Tennant in one other thing.
I have to go back and watch that movie to see that it is him, because I didn't even put that one and one together.
Yeah, when I first saw David Tennant, I was like, I know this guy from somewhere. And it was really kind of small, and I was like, okay, he's from Harry Potter. Okay, got it. But David Tennant is actually, if you go online or speak to people who are big Doctor Who fans, David Tennant is actually generally tends to be American's favorite Doctor. From the sounds of things, British people who watch Doctor Who are actually seem to be leaning more towards Matt Smith, and that's a lot of the fact that that David Tennant had a God complex, or David Tennant's Doctor had a God complex, and Matt Smith's version. Matt Smith is actually the youngest Doctor, or youngest actor ever to be cast as a Doctor. I think he was 26 when he got cast as a Doctor, and so he's got kind of like this young charm. He wears a bow tie, kind of looks like a really young professor. And thinks everything's cool, like stupid things are cool. Like,
professors are cool.
Yeah. Or one of his first things is like, oh, I've got a bow tie. Oh, bow ties are cool. He says it constantly. So, okay, so you're in the fourth season. You've seen The Weeping Angels.
Yes.
It's a fucking terrifying episode.
It is.
So, you said you like Chris Eccleston. Would you say you like Chris Eccleston better than David Tennant?
It's hard to say. I guess the thing is, I wish I saw more of Chris Eccleston.
Yeah.
Like I said,
it's kind of not fair, because David Tennant's got three seasons to judge.
You saw the first season, and, I mean, be honest, I wasn't too... didn't really like the first companion that much. Maybe because I knew she was going to get killed off, so...
Even though she so far has been the longest-running companion, although Amy Pond has one more season, at least.
Well, Amy Pond is, will match her.
Like I said, what I was going to say was... Like I said, I guess because, you know, Dan and the spoilers, he's like, oh, they're going to kill her off. Like, well, I guess I'll try not to get too attached because apparently it gets very fucking depressing.
You've only seen two companions, right?
No, I'm on the third one, which is Donna.
He's on Donna.
Okay. How much of Donna have you seen?
I think I'm halfway through the fourth season.
Okay.
I just started I was watching the one with the Agatha Christie and the giant bee.
Oh, yeah.
Which was mortifying,
but...
God damn it.
Yeah, we don't need fucking bees, let alone gigantic bees. Space bees.
They're fucking huge.
Space bees are scary.
It's
regular bees are scary.
I'm terrified of one bee. One inch long little bee just bumbling being around.
Do you know how big an inch is, by the way? That's a big fucking bee. Yeah. That's like a wasp.
Okay, sorry. A half-inch bee, minding his own business, you know, doing his bee things, buzzing around, terrifies the shit out of me. 30,000 little bees scare the shit out of me. 1 6-foot bee, I would die. If I saw that, I would stab myself to death just so it didn't have the glory of stinging me.
So of all the companions you've seen Rose Tyler. You've seen Rose Tyler. You've seen
Martha,
and you've seen Donna. Who's your favorite of the three?
I like Martha.
Even though she's kind of got, like, the shortest run as a companion.
Does she?
I think no. She's only, like... Does she go a full season?
Spoiler alert here. She goes a full season
to the third, and she makes, like, what, two or three episodes in the second?
She's in, like, two or three of the second, I believe. The full third. And then she comes back a lot. She makes a lot of reappearances, so...
Not that many. She makes, like, two or three reappearances.
It seemed like there's a lot of episodes. I'd say at least five episodes that, with involving Donna, where she comes back.
I've been through, if you count Rory, who is, well, I won't get into it because you need to see the show. If you count Rory, I think there's been five companions total. If you have Rose,
Rose, Martha, Rose, Donna, Martha, Donna's dad.
I wouldn't count him as a companion.
He's there for one episode.
He's a companion for one episode.
Regardless, he's a companion. He counts.
I don't count him. You have to have a few episodes under your belt.
He did a very important portion of the show.
But then technically Mickey would be... I'm going to say main, like ones that lasted like a season. Because Mickey didn't go a full season.
Mickey should have been the only companion. All other companions can go to hell. Mickey's the bestest.
So of the three you've seen, you like Martha a lot, which I like Martha a lot too. Actually, Dan really likes Rose, And I really like Rose.
I miss Rose.
Yeah. But I kind of, I don't know, once she kind of ran her course, I was okay with it.
Yeah, I'm okay with her being gone, but I really liked Rose. Like, for me, it's a lot of it is the character interaction, and the way Rose was written is, like, all the female, most of the companions, pretty much every one of the main companions have been female. But Rose was the one who fell the hardest for the Doctor. They all kind of have this love complex with him where they kind of imagine that they'll be together forever and that the Doctor is madly in love with them and all this stuff. And, well, aside from Amy's not so much, which you'll see when you if you watch the show.
Actually, quick clarification real quick. If you've been sitting here this entire time wondering what the fuck a companion is,
it's a kidnapped human. I told you this in the very beginning.
Well, no, they're not kidnapped. They all go on their own free will.
Voluntarily, but if some dude showed up in a police box that travels time and told you you can have whatever the fuck you want, you're going to get in this goddamn police box. Well, I don't care if you're mid-deuce, you're going to get up and not wipe your ass and get in the goddamn police box.
By the way, that sounds like the beginning of rape.
That's what this show is. This is a rape. This show is a rape.
It rapes your mind. It
rapes your mind. Forever scars you, and no matter what you do, I watched so much of this fucking show in such a short period of time, I was dreaming in British. And the British accent generally aggravates the living piss out of me, and I was dreaming in British.
I think that's one of the reasons why I didn't like Rose so much, because it was fucking thick, her accent.
Her accent was very thick.
That and her teeth are huge.
Yeah.
Her teeth definitely stuck out of her face.
I think that's
she was hot, but her teeth were huge.
That's another thing I think it was like, you know, you first watched the episode, like I said, that British accent, it doesn't sit
British
well.
Teeth.
It doesn't sit well with you. And you're just like, fuck, I really don't like it. It's kind of annoying. And it kind of like, when it first happens, you know, it's there. And then eventually you're used to it, but you're still like in the back of your mind, it's like, I fucking hate that accent. And then when Martha comes along, you're kind of used to it. It's expected. And it's not as heavy.
Yeah.
If you've been sitting here this entire time wondering what the fuck is a companion is basically over the course of the show the Doctor who is again over 900. No, we didn't actually give the full explanation. I tried to, and then we got cut off. The Doctor is lonely. He's 900 years old. He travels through time by himself. He's forever alone.
He's essentially a space age pedophile. And if you really think about it, if you're 900 years old and you kidnap or get someone to voluntarily agree to go with you, who's 20 years old. You're like a super pedophile.
Yeah, he gets people to go with him, and they get to go on all his cool adventures, and it's basically a device so that you're not following one person around on a show for the entire fucking run.
They add a lot to it. They add a lot of character interaction to make you fall in love with them.
And they're always human.
They're always human.
And they've for the most part, they've been girls, at least in the new one.
I'm not sure about the old one, but they have pretty much all been women the whole time.
And they've, like, pretty much all fallen in love with the Doctor.
Do Time Lords have penises?
God, I hope so. Because there's no point in cruising around with a bunch of really hot women, aside from Donna, she's not hot, cruising around with a bunch of really hot women and not being able to act on it.
Well, he doesn't. Maybe Rose. I'm pretty sure Rose took a deep digging from the Doctor at one point.
Without giving any more River Song.
Well, if he can regenerate, you take it in the form of a human. I'm sure he comes with all the stuff.
Yeah.
Like
he's got two hearts. Does he have two penises? It's possible.
Double deep digging in the TARDIS.
He can double penetrate, and all he needs is himself.
God, beating off would be really annoying if you had two dicks.
Or awesome.
No, both your arms would be tired.
Rather than working one arm, you're working both.
What hand do you use to hold the rag? Again?
You don't. You just shoot it all over the ground. That's why he's got mops everywhere in the TARDIS.
Time spunk everywhere.
He's got magical time spunk.
We have officially lost any fans we had.
He can shoot it on someone and send him back in time.
We'll never lose Katie as a fan.
No, Katie, if you're still listening, I'm really surprised. Wow. We really need to stop talking about potential penises on an imaginary character from a British television show.
This is how you know we're nerds.
Not gay.
So anyways,
no,
So, are you still... We'll kind of end this on the Doctor Who thing. You really have to see it. We can't explain it enough, and I'm sure we'll...
Five-star show, and I hate everything.
Yeah. So, I watched most of it, and I kind of hit a point where I stopped. It was mostly because I got busy in life, and then eventually I, like, picked it up, and I've been, like, hooked on it again. Are you going to see it through to, you know, basically where they've left off?
I've come too far to not finish it up.
Like, you don't get tired of it at all?
I mean, not really.
Yeah.
I mean, there's points where the episodes are like, I could have done without it.
Netflix makes it fucking easy. If you have Netflix, and I know like 99% of you do,
if you don't,
put it on your instant queue. Yeah, put it on your instant queue and fucking watch it. It's the best show you'll watch.
Like I said, there's a lot of episodes to watch again. Blink is not one of them.
and if you really like, if you end up watching Doctor Who and you really like it, they did a spinoff called Torchwood, which apparently is also really good. And
that's on my instant queue. I'll probably start watching that when I finish.
Yeah, actually, when I'm done with Doctor Who, I'm going to start watching Torchwood. When I get caught up to Doctor Who.
I'm deliberately not watching Torchwood because I already have one British heroin addiction. I don't need another one.
But the main character doesn't have a British accent.
No, but it's still a British show. And if Doctor Who is as addicting as it was and Torchwood's been going on pretty much just as long at this point, I'm not going to make that mistake. No. I want a social life back. And Doctor Who took away my social life. I stopped playing video games because of Doctor Who. I've been playing video games for as long as I can remember, and I stopped playing because of Doctor Who.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. I just watch TV.
Coming out, I can't afford another show.
Yeah, dude. Man, I'm so fucking pissed off about that beta invite thing that went on.
That was such a cock tease.
They both got beta invites for the future on tour of the Old Republic, the new Star Wars MMO.
Yeah, we got an email saying we've been invited to a beta eventually.
Yeah, that's basically what it said.
But it made it sound like, hey, you've been invited to the beta now. But then when you actually sat there and, you know, read through
the download link.
Yeah, when you combed through the fucking words and tried to figure out exactly what they were saying, you finally realized, oh shit, they didn't say anything about playing this right now. They just said, hey, guess what? You're going to get to play the beta before it comes out.
You know what the subject for the email says, you've been accepted to the beta. You read the fine print, which no one reads it.
Yeah.
You open it like, I've been invited to the beta. Where do I download?
There's no download.
Now I get, yeah. Oh, what the fuck?
See, like,
I'm going to read this and see what it says. You've been invited to an upcoming. God damn it.
They're both pissed because they got invited to upcoming. I'm pissed. I just moved this past week, so I don't have internet in my new house yet. And literally the day I moved, which was Wednesday evening, I got a email that said you've been invited to the beta. And I was like, sweet. So I opened it. It was no shit. You are in the current beta test. And I don't
Which only lasts through the weekend, by the way.
Every week. I'm invited to that one and all future betas. As far as I know, once you get a beta
That's invite, what Kiwi got, yeah.
All future betas. So eventually I'll be able to play it in the beta. But, the only thing I've done is registered for it. I did not pre-order yet. Did nothing. Everyone that I know who pre-ordered did not get a beta invite,
pretty
much.
This is why Cameron hates you.
Yeah. But I have it. It's sitting in my email inbox, which I can only check from my phone, and I can't play it.
Cameron pre-ordered the day it came out, and he hasn't gotten it yet.
Yeah, he's pretty pissed. There's a lot of people pissed me because I can't.
And he bought the $150 special edition, which means he's really looking forward to tour. And trust me, he's really looking forward to tour. He cannot wait.
Fuck up about it.
Which is cool. We love you, Cameron. But fuck, man, that game will
end my life.
Yeah.
This is where I die.
No, I think Dark Millennium's gonna end your life.
I've been through war. I've been through all sorts of other shit, and a goddamn Star Wars video game. And I'm not even a Star Wars fan. Yeah. Like, I can tolerate the movies. I'm not a huge Star Wars nerd. I know how crazy it sounds that, you know, a self-proclaimed nerd and geek, you know, all that. Everyone else loves Star Wars. Not a Star Wars fan, not a Star Trek fan. Never got into it.
What class are you planning to play?
I don't know yet, but whatever it is, I'm going to be bad at it, because anything carrying any name that I play has to be bad at what they do.
Are you leaning towards being a Sith or maybe a bounty hunter or?
He's gonna be the
Imperial agent.
He's gonna be the Tor version of a warlock.
I'm gonna figure something out. I've heard Inquisitor uses magic, but everybody's an Inquisitor, so I may go ahead and play something like a Sith warrior or something.
Actually, we only have two Inquisitors in the guild, but we have three Sith warriors.
So maybe I'll go ahead and be an Inquisitor. Regardless, I'm going to be useless. If I do end up in a raid, I will be there for comedic relief and making someone feel useful because they're not as bad as I am.
Cameron, heal me, heal me, heal me.
I'll run in circles screaming help, just like I did through all of World of Warcraft.
Well, what you do have working for you is that you were a warlock in World of Warcraft, and Manzer was a warlock in World of Warcraft. And guess what? Manzer's playing an Inquisitor in Star Wars The Old Republic.
Yeah, playing an Inquisitor, and I'm going to name myself the Bad Manzer.
What are you thinking of playing, Darren?
I already set up for a Sith Warrior. It's funny, we actually had,
So now, I take that back, you're now the fourth Sith Warrior.
I think
third.
It's still the third.
You, me, and Nate.
Is it? Yeah. No, it's funny,
Do you want a tank or DPS, by the way?
That's actually the funny thing, I was just gonna say that there's a guy at work, for those who don't know, I work in a meat department at a grocery store. And, sometimes we'll get, meat cutters from different stores that come help out if one of our guys is on vacation. One of the guys that came in... And we started talking. He's like, you know, we had before. You know, I remember because he's like a video game nerd. So like, we're not doing nothing much. You know, I'm like, yeah, I'm playing Battlefield 3 right now. I'm waiting for Tor to come out. He's like, wait, you're a Star Wars fan? I'm like, eh. Like I said, like Dan, I'm not a big Star Wars fan.
I'm a big fan of 4 through 6.
Yeah, like I like.
There were only 4 through 6.
Like I said, I like the series, like, again, yeah, the original trilogy. I liked them. Not a big fan of, like, you know, the backstory, you know, like the books. I never got into them.
By the way, Clone Wars is kind of a cool show. Is it? Of what I've seen.
Like I said, really the only reason why I'm even playing this game is because everyone else is. That's probably why Dan
That's kind of why I'm playing it.
We're literally conforming thanks to Cameron. Yeah. Because he...
We're the anti-goth.
He throws these fucking wicked launch parties for games, and I didn't get to go to the last one because I had to work.
Which was a Cataclysm party. Yeah. It was a week-long Cataclysm rager.
Yeah, that's what it was. It was alcohol and...
Actually, there was no alcohol.
Oh, well then... What?
I think there was one night where we were drinking, and that night we chose not to play WoW, and we just kind of drank. I don't
remember. Regardless, these parties are legendary among our group of, our circle of people who speak to us, and, you know, our friends, and I want to go to one, so the only reason I'm pre-ordering and buying this game is so I can go to one of these fucking launch parties.
That weighs heavily into my decision as well.
So anyway, we were talking, he's telling me, like, so, he's asking me, so what are you going to play? I'm like, oh, I'm going Sith Warriors. Like, oh, so you're going to go, I believe the classes are Marauder and Juggernaut.
Yeah, Juggernaut's the tank, Marauder's the dual-wielding DPS. Yeah,
he's like, which one are you going to go? I'm like, honestly, I have no idea. I think I'm just going to wing it. Like, I'm going to go for what we need. If we need DPS, I'll roll DPS. If we need tank, I'll roll tank. He looks at me, he's like, you know what? I did the exact same thing. I'm like, that's kind of cool.
Well, I'll let you know right off the bat, both Nate and I are planning to be tanking Sith Warriors.
So I guess I'll DPS.
Yeah, might as well. Well,
yeah, dual-wield.
Yeah, dual-wielding. We're going to be just single-wielding with all of our hate and anger.
And you can have all your anger. I'm going to throw bunnies and fluffy kittens and be happy.
You can't throw the kittens.
You always throw kittens. They always land on their feet. Except when they land on their backs.
There was a scientific article I read the other day about how cats... There's a dead zone, like a certain amount of height. Like, if you drop a cat...
Drop a cat from up to 3 stories, there's a good chance it'll land on its back or break its legs on impact. Any higher?
Well, in between that, though, I think if you drop it like between 5 and 7 feet, it's going to be okay. But if you drop it anywhere past that 7 feet up to 3 stories, there's a good chance it's going to die.
It's going to die or get compound leg fractures. I read an article when I was a real young kid about stories of people living in like New York in the high rise buildings, 100 stories. Little ladies bring their cats into the vet. My cat fell out of my 100-story balcony. Is it okay? And, you know, no fractures or anything. And at the time, I was very confused because I didn't understand a lot of physics. But cats hit their terminal velocity at 30 feet or so, give or take. So when they hit that point, they're no longer panicking. So when they land, they're fine. So you could drop a cat out of a 747, and it's going to be absolutely, you know, chunky dory when it hits the ground.
Now, about that?
Pretty sure.
I don't believe that.
It may suffocate.
In Dan,
the bottom.
In Dan science, it works.
Dan science is unquestionable. But, no,
for those at home, please don't drop a cat out of a 100-story building. That's
no
a bad
balls.
Plan.
If you do it, send me a video so I can prove them wrong.
Picture didn't happen.
Video or it didn't happen. You know, I want a sound audio, too, because I've always wanted to hear what a cat sounds like falling. I imagine screaming, and then I'm okay with this.
You've just made us out to be terrible people.
I am a terrible people.
I said not to.
Darren's a good people. Mike's a good people.
I don't even like cats. And I say don't do it.
There's a special place. I love cats, and I say do it. There's a special place reserved in hell for me, and I know it.
We're all going to hell for various different reasons.
And then it'll be all the podcasts coming straight to you live from hell.
We're rocking out with the devil.
And more likely getting burned and prodded.
Yeah. But we're going to have a good time doing it.
I'll be prodded with a smile, except during the pain.
Which will be constant and unbearable.
Can't be any worse than work, right?
So, you know, I think it's it for the most part. We've talked, you know, Battlefield, Tor,
Pokemon,
dropping cats.
Dropping cats, Doctor Who. There's your synopsis. That's pretty much what we talked about.
Was there anything interesting you guys had going on this week other than moving to Mexico?
I moved to Mexico. I moved to fucking Escondido.
Bienvenidos.
I moved north. I'm closer to home now. Anyway, not really, not a whole lot happened. I mean, Modern Warfare 3 dropped, Skyrim dropped, not a console player, and also I'm very poor, so I'm not playing either of those. I spent all of my monies on Battlefield 3.
Not a fan of either.
Yeah, well, I loved Morrowind, but, you know, I'm not, didn't play Oblivion, haven't played, don't plan on playing Skyrim, not going to play Modern Warfare 3. Not a whole lot has happened. The Tribes Ascend beta went full live, but without the internet and with my busy work schedule, I haven't been able to get really into the full beta yet.
That your computer doesn't like Tribes Ascend for some reason?
It goes back and forth. I mean, I'm sure it's just the bad programming from early on stages.
Yeah, high res. Games are awesome. Learn to code.
Hey, you know
what? You had the same problems with Global Agenda.
Global Agenda was beautiful as long as you didn't move.
Yeah, exactly. If you stood in one place, everything looked amazing.
Yeah, it was like looking into heaven's vagina.
Darren, did you have anything go on this week?
No, I've been working 6 days a week. It's been hell. It's going to get worse with the holidays coming up. Like I said, I work in the grocery store, meat department. Thanksgiving is a week and a half away.
A very meaty holiday.
I'm going to hate life.
Any games coming up you're looking forward to?
Really just kind of tour right now.
Yeah.
Like I said, I mean, I've always spent a lot of money. I just found out today my parents are going to start charging me rent.
That sucks. I'm actually...
For $400, I'm like, hey, can I move to Escondido with you guys? You got an extra room?
I do not have an extra room. But you could sleep in the dog's kennel.
No, what you do is you sleep on Dan's floor long enough so they just expect you live there.
You know what? If you do it long enough, I'm sure my roommates will just accept that you are there. Dan, your friend's here. Okay.
Now, I guess I'll go back to what we were talking about before the podcast. I'm kind of half interested in trying Skyward Sword, the new Zelda game, because I hear it's, like, amazing.
I've read a few reviews on it, a few, like, people who've played it. They said it's very challenging, but it's a wonderful game. It brings a lot of the aspects that Wind Waker had that people really enjoyed. Without what aggravated the shit out of me was the cel shading. One of the biggest things I've heard people write and talk about is the way the game is, graphically, the way it looks. Because it's not your standard,
it's
like,
kind of cheerier and more colorful than Twilight
more like
Princess.
It's pacing. The whole game, I guess, is coded and is scanned like a painting, so it's very watercolory, which I'm interested in seeing.
Yeah. Yeah, and I know IGN gave it a perfect 10, which is rare. You don't see that whole, you know.
Arkham City, I heard that got a perfect 10.
Did it really? That's another game amazing. I have. That's a, you know what
I'd be interested in that game. Maybe just trying it out. Like I said, I rented Arkham Asylum.
I have to fucking finish
like
Arkham Asylum.
I beat it in like a day.
Yeah, it was quick. I'm actually. Dude, I want to say I have maybe less than an hour left in Arkham Asylum.
It's a short game.
It was something that had to do with Killer Croc the last time I saw him. And I'm doing something for Poison Ivy.
If you rush through, you could probably beat it in an hour. I'd say maybe like. If you do some exploring, you go like try to find the Riddler clues, or whatever.
Yeah.
You just mess around. It's probably maybe 2-3 hours.
I did that thing that I do with so many games where I get to the end of the game and then I don't finish it. So I probably should. Else. Yeah.
I was apparently the only person here who has played a little bit of Arkham City. Granted, I was intoxicated at a friend's party. Sorry for puking. Her little brother basically said you should try this game and handed me the controller and it was Arkham City. And I got to the point where you get to become Batman instead of the rich, you know, the rich pussy in jail. And I learned that if I climb to the top of a building and I jump off, I could be Batman and fly. And that's as far as I made in that game, because for the next hour and a half, I drunkenly flew around the city getting my ass beat by criminals as I ran away and flew. I have very short attention span when I'm drunk. If you want me to do storyline while I'm intoxicated, don't
except
do
when you're playing Rage. For some reason, you kick ass at that game when you're drunk.
I'm an excellent drunk driver on Rage. Don't fuck with me. I will fuck your world up. And steal all your meteors.
So when Dan plays Rage next, we'll just get him tanked and he'll beat you all.
Yep, that's a challenge.
That's a game I have no desire to play. Rage. I could care less for Rage.
I heard it was... I got a buddy at work.
I heard it looks great. And
it's id Software, so, I mean, id usually comes out with good games, but it's no
it
Valve.
Looks, like, it looks great. I guess the engine is really solid. It's, you know, there's no very few bugs, but
The biggest complaint I heard it was short. Like, it's extremely
short. Again, the multiplayer is it's vehicle based. I'm like,
reminds me of Twisted Metal. That's the Twisted Metal or
which they're coming out with a new one, by the way.
Are they really?
Yeah,
fun stuff.
Yeah, it's like a reboot. Like they're rebooting fucking everything now.
Stop rebooting things. Yeah. Be original.
Yeah.
I don't know if you heard this. You might enjoy this. So much for being short. Anyway.
We're ending soon anyway.
I guess I read an article, or no, someone read an article. And they were talking about it in line for the Battlefield 3 launch. They plan on releasing Twisted Metal on Valentine's Day.
Nice.
And the reason for that is You know,
because we've got a sweet tooth.
No, it was actually because, like, I guess this is what one of the producers said, or one of the executives said, like, hey, wouldn't it be cool, you know, on Valentine's Day, you get all these couples playing Twisted Metal, and then, you know, at the end of the night, they go home, you know, they do the thing, and they conceive a child.
Called fucky.
Exactly.
Do you know what we did right before we conceived you? We murdered each other with vehicles, then got drunk and had violent, angry clown sex. You were conceived with your mother dressed like a member of ICP.
That's exactly pretty much what they
your
said.
Your mother was a juggalo.
Juggalette.
Juggalette, sorry.
Yes, juggalette. That's exactly...
Don't come after us, juggalos or juggalettes. He's sorry. Leave us alone.
Okay.
That's pretty much exactly what they said. It's like, hey, we want kids to be conceived playing our fucking game.
That's like... That's just straight crazy. that's not like the, oh, you so crazy. That's fucking crazy. Like, that's batshit insane to actually believe that's going to happen. The Twisted Metal generation, wow.
What, Twisted Metal? I'm a young end of the Twisted Metal generation. They're fucking 30s now, aren't they?
Yeah. What was the first Twisted Metal?
The first one, I believe, came out on PS1, and it was a mature rating, so... If you had parents who were super anal about video games, you weren't allowed to play it. But, you know, with most parents and video games in our generation, they didn't really pay attention to what you did.
My parents are good parents. They didn't monitor what games I played.
Yep. They were very freedom of speech.
It's a car game.
It's a car racing game.
Yeah.
Why are you a clown? Because it's a clown car racing game.
Why is the clown naked and bloody and laughing over a corpse? I don't know if that happened, but...
It's an interesting... Regardless, you know those players, so... If you were old enough to buy yourself, you're probably 14, 15 when PlayStation came out. So now you're, what, 10 to 15 years later? You're mid to late 20s, maybe early 30s. So there is a good possibility if you have a cool-ass fucking wife and for Valentine's Day you can get away with buying her Twisted Metal. Which, what, Twisted Metal Hearts and Roses? I don't know what they're going to fucking call it.
Dude, the last two, the only...
I think it's Twisted Metal.
Twisted Metal Black was the last one.
That was the last one. Well, no, that was the last one.
I think it's Twisted Metal or Twisted Metal 5 or something like that.
There was one that came out on PSP. I think Twisted Metal Black was probably the last one I actually liked.
Yeah.
I mean, that one was kind of... But I think there's only been two Twisted Metal games I've ever liked. I mean, it wasn't even the first one. The first one was cool. It was like, oh yeah, dude, there's cars and they're shooting. This is new. Oh, we've never seen this before. Awesome. I mean, yeah, Carmageddon had come out a couple years earlier, but...
Which was an awesome game.
Fuck, dude. Yeah, it was. And,
that's going way back.
But Twisted Metal 2, like, really just refined it and made it awesome. Twisted Metal 2 was great. And then 3 sucked and 4 sucked, and then they didn't really have another good one until Twisted Metal Black came out.
You know what game I want to see them reboot? Jet Moto.
Yeah, fuck yeah. Jet Moto was great. Dude, all the crazy fucking tricks you'd pull, like how much air you'd catch, that it's fucking rocket bikes.
And the 65-digit cheat codes you had to put in.
Yeah.
That were hard as fuck to find.
Yeah.
That was my early days browsing the internet through AOL with parental controls. Imagine trying to find a fucking cheat code website that didn't have any pop-ups. Because one of the blockers that was on my parental controls, if I'm not mistaken, was anything with a pop-up, anything labeled adult, anything labeled, you know, anything questionable, because AOL was like, oh, you're under the age of 18? Well, here's your 3 websites and 1 chat room that's never available. Yeah. So,
or you can be an 18F Cali.
Yeah, always.
16F Cali.
13F Cali.
Get it right.
Get it right.
Yeah, Sony Computer Entertainment America, if you're listening to this, please reboot Jet Moto. That game was awesome. So,
I'll buy it. Yeah. I won't pirate it.
I don't promise that.
I won't find it.
I won't randomly stumble upon it on the internet.
Don't Google search stumble upon. Don't do it. Don't fucking do it.
What? Oh.
Do not Google search stumble upon.
Don't go to stumble upon?
Yeah, stay away from it.
Oh, okay.
It is not a place you go if you want to have a life.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that the person who found...
Neither is Reddit.
I'm pretty sure the person that that tabs between... between Reddit and StumbleUpon, that person's going to die a real horrible life. Or a great life.
He's going to be the most brilliant individual on the planet, or the dumbest, depending on what your likes are. If you don't know, StumbleUpon is a website that you go and you register, and it gives you like probably 75 to 80 different categories that you can either say you like or you're not interested in. And there's a little neat little button that appears at the top of your browser, and you click it, and it just says Stumble. And it takes you to a random website based on your likes, which is wonderful for porn after 5 days of browsing it, through porn that you don't like.
Because yeah, if you're a particularly sad and hoardy individual, you can look at porn on StumbleUpon.
It's a wonderful website for porn.
Hey, the internet is for porn.
Yeah, enough said about that.
But StumbleUpon will take you to these websites, and I mean, I have a lot of things like science, literature, cartoons, art, photography, just all these different things, and it just brings up everything, and you'll just... The first night I did it, I was like, all right, I'll check this out. This is kind of entertaining. The first half hour, I was like, this isn't neat. And then after a half hour, I was like, all right, it's 4 a.m. I need to go to bed soon. I got to go, you know, to class in the morning.
I'll do one more.
And then just one more stumble. And that
just like Rage Comics.
Just like Rage Comics. And for 4.5 more hours, I stumbled until it was 9:30, and I was like, son of a bitch.
Well, I think that's going to do it for this week's edition of the podcast. It was a very lighthearted and jubilant conversation.
Not compared to last week's Depression Cast.
Yeah, no shit.
Anything's happy compared to Depression Cast.
Actually, to be fair, I think I'm the only one that's actually listened to it. I don't think anyone's actually listened to the whole thing.
Bits and pieces. I just didn't have a whole lot of time because I was painting minis and watching Dr.
Moving to Mexico.
Moving to Mexico. Fuck you.
All right, so that will about do it for the third episode of the All the Things podcast. If you want to follow us on Twitter, you can follow us at twitter.com/allthepodcast. If you want to send us an email, which we're still looking for emails, if you guys have questions, comments, you want...
Are you going to check that email?
Yeah.
Every day? I check 12F Cali every day.
I promised last week, and I broke that promise, obviously, that I was going to read the email that we have gotten, which was spam. Two of which, apparently, we want a free iPad, too.
Dude,
so,
get it so I can smash the fuck out of it. Fuck iPads.
So, if you got an email, if you have any questions, and we'll still leave it open. Dan will say any, what was it, 10 words?
You know what? You send me anything. I will fucking read it. I don't care if it's
up to a paragraph.
Up to a paragraph, fine. Mike won't let me read it.
And not a run-on paragraph, a legitimate paragraph.
I'll decide what I read on the air, thank you. But I will read pretty much whatever you send me. I don't care if you... You know what? In fact, I will respond, too.
Send him a furry porn story, and he'll read it.
Send me a Harry Potter horny fanfic, and I'll fucking read it. I don't care if you write me... I don't care if you spend the entire paragraph in detail describing your herpes. I will read it on the air.
If you send an email that just says, hi, he'll read it.
He'll
be like, hi, from so-and-so.
Yeah, I'll be like, hi, so-and-so, I love you. Thank you for emailing me. Here's a picture of Darren's penis.
Again, that address is allthepodcast@gmail.com. The Twitter address is twitter.com/allthepodcast. If you want to follow me personally on Twitter, it is twitter.com/Mike_Furr. That's F-U-R-R-H. And I'll probably, you know, talk shit about work or video games or what's particularly pissing me off at the time.
Or that he's pooping.
Trying to think if there's any other shout-outs we should give. Oh, if you're into cosplay at all, since, you know, we've been getting into Etsy recently because there's a whole lot of cool shit on Etsy. If you're into cosplay at all, the best person who could possibly do it for you is Lorraine Torres Cosplay, who now has an Etsy store. It's Leet Chic. Go to Etsy.com, E-T-S-Y, and look up Leet Chic. It's L-33-T, space C-H-I-C. And she specializes in all sorts of cosplay items, commissions, that sort of stuff. So check it out. Help her out. You won't be... You'll love anything you get. I mean, so...
She's amazing.
Yeah. She's great cosplay. That's award-winning. You heard her on the first podcast. So she is, you know, the cosplay queen. So, is there anything else to plug? Is there anyone else? Twitch feeds. If you like watching people play video games and you want to talk with these people and all that sort of stuff and hang out and you like watching streaming shit, you can check out Katie's Twitch feed, which is
if you're listening to this, you've probably seen Twitch feed.
You're probably listening to it in Katie's Twitch feed, but you can go to twitch.tv/KTSalz, KTSALZ. Or if you want to check out Bacan, who's also a funny motherfucker, twitch.tv/ninjaelephant. Exactly how it sounds, ninjaelephant. And if you want to watch someone play really old games and hear some great commentary and stories while you're at it, twitch.tv/Zevia for Steven, who was on the podcast last week. So that will about do it. Nothing left to plug, nothing left to talk about. I'm exhausted. I'm going to get some fucking sleep, and we're going to get the fuck out of this cold-ass weather. So
fuck yeah.
So that is it for the third episode of the All the Things podcast. You guys have a great week, and we'll catch you next weekend for, hopefully, the fourth episode.
We really hope to read emails.
Yeah, seriously. Or, you know what? I'll even take it a step further. Send me a message on Twitter. We'll read a Twitter thing.
If you find his phone number somehow, and you call him...
Oh, my God.
We'll talk to you on the air. We'll record it. We'll figure out a way.
Yeah, I've been trying. So, anyways, that does it. We're just going to fucking end it now, so have a good week.
Bye.
Have a good week.
Later.